Hi everyone, my name's Dave.
And I'm Jay.
And you're listening to SportStack Weekly Analysis by AlphaStack, where you can get your weekly discussion on everything SportStack.
This is a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter if you haven't already at AlphaStack Group. And don't forget to check out our weekly blog posts at www.alphastack.co.uk.
Right, enough of the admin, let's get on with the show. Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of the SportStack Weekly Analysis Podcast. My name is Dave and as usual Jay is with me. So Jay, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. It feels like nothing has happened since we last recorded the pod.
I mean, not much has happened, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, we've all had the boring FA Cup weekend where there's nothing to be traded on SportStack, and then a couple of games in the last 2 days, and obviously we're doing this one on a Thursday night just because we're still waiting for some games to be launched, really, for the upcoming weekend.
Yeah, exactly. We're recording ahead of the Arsenal Palace game, so I've got some butterflies. I'm feeling good about it, but we wanted to get the recording out of the way just so that we didn't have to do live reactions, because that's fine. But if there's a Palace game on, I've decided I'm not really a fan of it. I actually want to be able to concentrate. So we'll get to that in a bit. This will be, I suppose, another sort of different podcast. We've done a few different formats. I feel like we've played around quite a lot with what's going on, but obviously without career markets, the focus will be today on the games that we do have coming up. So we've got three markets open now. Aside from the Arsenal Palace game, obviously by the time everyone listens to this, that'll be done. So we don't really need to talk about it too much. So we've got three markets open, and while we're recording, we'll have live reactions, I suppose, to the prices and markets open on Leicester versus Southampton and Fulham versus Chelsea, which are going ahead this weekend. They're the later kickoffs on Saturday. I say live reactions, depending on how it comes out, we might like edit through the actual opening itself and then give you our views on what those prices are in the moments afterwards, or we may just, we might leave it all in there and we can do the whole live thing. But that might not be too interesting if we're sitting there just scrolling our phones, So we'll see how that one comes out. But those are probably actually two of the better games going ahead this weekend. So we'll see how those go. Very quickly, Jay, well, we'll talk about the trades that we took on the games that did go ahead midweek. I mean, they weren't particularly exciting fixtures. I think there was one game with three goals and the rest were like one or two goal games. So nothing particularly exciting. But the Burnley-Man United game was one that we both had picked up trades on last week.
Yes. So you went with Tarkowski, didn't you?
I did. Yes, and I mean, that was fine. I think I ended up maybe a couple of P down on that one. I have to say I didn't actually watch any of the games, so that was quite bad practice from me. But it was one of those where I thought, he's not going to come in that far below, surely. And then Burnley sat out of their stall and United struggled to break him down for the most part. Well, that's as far as I could work out from the things I was reading, but I was focusing on a different game in the end.
Yeah, no, to be fair, that's pretty much how it went. I kind of want to take as much credit as humanly possible for pretty much calling the game to a T, at least for 70 minutes until Man United scored. Because for those final 20 minutes, I think Burnley were just kind of all over Man United then, trying to get that equaliser. But certainly for those sort of 70 minutes where, I said, look, first half United will probably try and do it their way, which is what they've done. And it was a bit more of an even fixture in the first half. 25 minutes of the second half was just United clearly getting frustrated, taking shots. And obviously my long on Nick Pope really started to work to perfection there.
Yeah.
Picking up points. I was quite lucky. I traded out half of him just before. Did I do it just before they scored? I can't remember now. No, I didn't. I done it early. So I traded out half probably about 10 minutes or so before they scored, and then left the rest run. So I traded out at 64p on half of them, and the other half settled at 65. So, you know, in hindsight, it was fine to trade out when I did. But yeah, you know, finished on 65. That's, you know, what you would, I suppose, expect, you know, given the way that Burnley set up. Obviously, a couple of frustrations were Pope really couldn't have done anything about the goal. I think he had it. He had the shot covered until it took a bit of a deflection off Max Lowton, which was quite frustrating. But yeah, you know, apart from that, it just, you know, it was just standard stuff. I remember telling you actually that, you know, Tarkowski nearly and probably should have scored close to the end.
Yeah, I decided not to check the highlights to see how annoyed I might have been by that. But it's one of those things with, say, with the centre back scoring something like that. If they don't score, I'm not too annoyed because I haven't bought them on the basis of them getting a goal anyway. So that one, you know, it's profit I've missed out on. But that was no big deal. My focus was elsewhere on that evening. So a bit of credit to Sports Stacker here. I was chatting to him and he decided that he quite liked the look of Ruben Neves. And I looked around it a little bit and decided to take it as well. He's been on particularly good form. He had, I think before the game against Everton the other night, he had 3 60-plus scores in a row. And he was on it again the other night. He got himself a goal quite early on, which puts you in a, I guess, quite a comfortable position on a trade like that because, you know, again, probably haven't bought him on the basis of him getting a goal, but he's likely to be heavily involved in a game like that. And he ended up, I think, on like 68p. So that was, 20p profit, which is very nice on that one. So I'd had that game on rather than the Burnley United game. And yeah, I mean, he was pulling all the strings for Wolves. Started because I think it's earlier in the season, I'd started to think kind of what's quite happened to him. But he's really stepped up in the last few weeks. And so he will be a trade that I'll be taking over the weekend. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Did you have any other trades that evening, Jay? Or was it just, last night?
No, it was just Pope. Last night, which will be Wednesday night for anyone listening, I was long Kane and Son, which I'm really quite glad that I just couldn't be asked to watch the game in the second half and banked all of my profits at the end of the first. Because watching Spurs play, it's just getting worse and worse at the moment. They seem to get that goal, which is great because 90% of the time it's either Kane or Son who gets the goal. And the other, you know, will probably have had some shots on target or whatnot. But it just seems to be once they get that goal, they just turn into old school Mourinho and just try and shut up shop.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a tweet from a Spurs fan. I genuinely can't remember who it was. It was just a random tweet that popped up on our feed saying what was so terribly bad about beating United 6-1 away from home that Jose has decided to get an early goal and park the bus ever since.
It feels like a fair point. I mean, to be fair,
it's
like,
a
to
very
them,
good point.
To them, maybe it feels like it's been every game ever since. I might have that wrong. They'll have been watching Spurs more closely than I have. But it does feel like a bit of a shocking pattern they've got into now because they've given up one goal leads at home to Fulham as well. You know, that's not really a situation where they should be giving up ground once they go a goal up.
But home and away fixtures at the moment are pointless anyway.
I suppose so. Yeah.
But it's just, in hindsight, you know, just going back to the trades last night, I kind of knew that was going to happen. And really what I should have done was just switched the trade from a long position to a short position on yeah. Kane and Son, because they both actually finished on 51p. A little bit of sports stat trivia here, that is twice in a row now that both of them have finished on the exact same payout.
That's a good one, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, ironically, despite the fact that Harry Kane scored, he finished on 50, well, they both finished on 51, but Harry Kane to buy pregame was something like 57, which, yeah. Let's be fair, he scored in, like, what, the 20th minute against Fulham. You, in hindsight, or, you know, in general, you would have been laughing to the bank, like, laughing all the way to the bank, thinking he's going to get a max payout now. Like, Fulham is shite.
Yeah. There are a few things here. I mean, so one, yeah, it's that pattern they got into. It's against Fulham, against Wolves, against Palace. They've got a goal early on against us. It was maybe half an hour in, I think, in the other two games. It was probably a little bit sooner than that. And then they've given up ground and eventually conceded and drawn the game, which isn't a good thing. I wonder if for Mourinho it's a case of trying to give his players a little bit of a rest, because particularly in the early going in the season, I was thinking surely Kane and Son can't keep this up. You know, the way they played away at Southampton when they won 5-2, or against United, I was thinking they're sort of going at like 100 miles an hour throughout the game. I suppose they need to, you know, manage their performance and their energy over the course of 90 minutes, as well as over the course of the season. It might be with Mourinho, he's got faith enough in his setup and his defence to say, all right, I back us to protect a one-goal lead against anybody. And, you know, certainly at this stage now, you think maybe he shouldn't be quite so confident. But it's, yeah, I don't know. Given other games they've played recently, I mean, you know, playing against Marine maybe isn't the best marker, but against Brentford, 2-0 win, against Leeds, 3-0 win. So they've got that first goal, and then they've kept at it. They've not sat off in the same way. But it feels a little bit annoying, because I think I said to you before the game, I'd called it about like them going 1-0 up and then basically taking their foot off gas. But I wasn't watching the game, so I didn't do anything with that in the end, which is a bit of a bummer. But yeah, so I mean, the Kane trade worked out well. Where did Son finish on? Or not finish on, sorry, but when you traded him out, was that a profit as well?
Yeah, they were both profit. You know, which is great, considering. I mean, I didn't take as much profit as I probably should have on, well, to be honest, on both of them. But yeah, Son I bought at 54, sold some at 61, and sold some at 59.
Right.
So not huge amounts of profit, but, you know, profit nonetheless.
Yeah.
And Kane, I bought at 57, sold at 71, and at 66.
Nice, okay.
But, I mean, after Kane scored, his sell price was 74, I think.
Yeah.
So obviously that there could have been a lot more profit in there for me if I just decided to take it all straight away, and, you know, who knows, maybe in future games, if I'm watching it, maybe I will go long and then switch it to a short.
Yeah, try and rinse a bit more out of that if you can.
Yeah. Because why not? I mean, we know it works, or, you know, we know it's got the potential to work. And I think it's always a psychological thing. If you're already in profit, you don't necessarily mind too much if you end up with less profit, if that makes sense. Like, say you theoretically banked £30 worth of profit, but then your new short position costs you a total of 35, so you end up in a £5 loss. That psychologically isn't as bad as you taking a short and losing 35 quid.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a good thing, probably a good practice to get into, is if you're sitting there on that cushion, try and push some of that profit a little bit further and try and make it work for you a little bit, rather than just taking it and saying I'm happy with that. It's not a bad practice to get into, because you're risking a bit of this money that you didn't have before, rather than chasing losses and doubling down on things when you're in a losing position. That's probably the time to actually take more bets on than when you're losing. We both know that I could talk for ages about Palace, but we've got a market opening in 3 minutes. So this is a good way of containing our very brief Arsenal Palace preview. Obviously, as we said earlier, it's relevant to anyone listening. So this is just a chance for us to make ourselves look good or bad. Jay, do you want to give your prediction on how this game might go, or if you've got any trades that you've taken?
I haven't got a clue. I'll be perfectly honest. I cannot call this game at all.
I'm in the same boat.
As far as I can go.
I'm in the same boat. I was thinking earlier this would be very Arsenal of Arsenal and quite Palace of Palace for this game to end a draw, when Arsenal have been playing particularly well and Palace haven't. So who knows? I mean, I don't think I particularly fancy us to go and run riot there. I was looking through some previous payouts. Zaha finished on 28p in both games last season, and one of those he actually had won a penalty. So he was plus 10 there. So that's pretty shocking. But then his role has kind of changed slightly this year. So I don't know. I don't want to take that one particularly. On the Arsenal side, people are particularly high on them at the moment, and obviously they've won, I think, their last three league games, and they've started to look kind of like the Arsenal of old. But people have flipped so quickly on them. And a lot of that performance has been built on, I think, particularly, well, Lacazette playing centre forward is a big thing. I'm quite a big fan of centre forwards playing as a centre forward, and it's working for him. But Smith Rowe and Saka are playing particularly well, but they are only very young, and Smith Rowe particularly hasn't got that many Premier League games under his belt. So
lacking experience.
It's one of those where I don't know if maybe I'm a little bit biased, but people might say a sort of a wily Roy Hodgson side, because I mean Palace team is particularly old, whether our centre midfielders might work out a way to nullify them and give them a hard time, and then you could be looking, I think it's 44p to sell him. So a Smith Rowe short might be interesting, but I don't particularly fancy taking anything. We now have the market online for Leicester versus Southampton. So just while the prices populate from the market makers, Jay, do you have any feeling on this one?
I would quite fancy Jamie Vardy, given the amount of injuries that Southampton have.
Yeah. So do you want to run through that list? I think we've jotted down on the pod notes just roughly how it's looking for Southampton, and they are missing or potentially missing a few players.
So they are potentially missing Ings, Redmond, Vestergaard, McCarthy, Romeo, and possibly Adams as well. So it's not an extensive list, but it's a core list of players.
Yeah, some very important players. Given the way Saints have been playing, Vestergaard has got a lot of plaudits, I think, in the recent run. Adams and Ings possibly missing is going to be damaging for them. So
it doesn't leave them with a lot.
No. It's worth noting that Leicester did have Vardy and James Maddison, I think technically missing at the weekend from the FA Cup. So I think Rodgers said that they weren't available to play, and it wasn't just rest, but they are apparently going to be back for the weekend. So assuming a sort of a pretty much full strength Leicester side, you probably fancy them there. But this is going to be, I think, probably the best game of the weekend. Or it will be billed as such, because it's two very exciting teams. Right, okay. Price is in. Jamie Vardy is a 48p buy. Does that interest you?
No. It's a little bit too high.
I have just
that's
taken
not
a trade.
What I wanted.
It's that's higher than I would have liked to see. James Ward-Prowse is a 45p buy. And that feels quite low. I've jumped on it and I might be wrong, but he's got 259s in his last three games. That's good enough for
me. It's always going to be possible for him. I'm not sure now.
I'm taking that. He's got 51p season average. I'm well happy with that. Good work. Right, what we did forget to mention, at the start of the pod, because we don't have career markets anymore, this week sees the return of the picks, which, I mean, I feel like we dropped them a little while ago. And it was, maybe it was because we were having a particularly tough time picking stuff, but now we have to do it just because we need content. So with the return of the picks, we're doing three each from the five games that will be going ahead on Saturday. So we've nailed down two already. And from the live market launches, we were going to pick an additional one each. So, Jay, is there anything that's tickled your fancy in this game that you've seen that you would like to register as one of your picks?
Not from the Leicester Southampton game. I think that's, for me, going to end up being an in-play one.
Fair enough.
If I look at taking anything.
Okay, fair play. Those Leicester prices do look a little... It's just a bit of a weird mix of prices, because Ward-Prowse is cheap and Tielemans is 46p as well. So I guess from those prices, the market makers are kind of, they think it's about even. You've got James Justin there at 41p. I know there are a few people around who think he's a bit of a trap because he can be a little volatile, but there are a few interesting picks in there, but people might wait until lineups come out just to know who is fit and who isn't, or they might wait until the game is in play, I suppose.
Yeah.
What else do we have from Saturday? We've got Wolves versus West Brom, so West Country Derby. Both teams are in a spot of bother with 2 points from their last five games. But it's difficult to see past Wolves winning this just the way West Brom have been, isn't it?
I'd be very shocked if Wolves didn't find a way to win this game. But, you just never know.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, a lot of people I've heard some interesting observations about West Brom, particularly under Allardyce. One of which is that they've got off to a bit of a slow start, and actually the same was true of Palace when Allardyce arrived at Palace. We'd lost 4-0 at home to Sunderland. We were 4-0 down at half-time even. Aberrations like the defeat to Leeds and then losing to Arsenal, which maybe isn't so much of an aberration. I don't think that's that indicative. There was also someone else pointing out that West Brom are now being referred to as a physical side, basically because Allardyce is in charge, when actually otherwise you wouldn't look at them as a particularly physical side necessarily. So
yeah,
I'm still not quite sure where I stand on West Brom and whether I think Allardyce will get them out of trouble, but this game particularly, I think Wolves probably just will have too much. You know, they've scratched together some decent results a few weeks ago now, I suppose, but I would back them here. And in fact, I have got one of my picks in this game.
Who is your pick?
It is Ruben Neves again, after such a success the other night. And there is actually interesting reason for this. So obviously he's on stonking form. I think he's had 460p plus payouts in a row now. And I'm not expecting him to keep that going. He's had goals in a couple of those games that have kind of boosted his performance a little bit. But it's the form of other defensive midfielders in games against West Brom. So recently you've had Liverpool versus West Brom. I think Jordan Henderson paid out 57p. Xhaka against West Brom got 48. So there's kind of like baseline there, and Neves at 49p isn't too different to that. And Calvin Phillips, I think, paid out 61 against against West Brom for Leeds as well. So there are a few performances there that kind of set the benchmark for what do you expect a defensive midfielder to do. And Neves was definitely the deepest sitting of Wolves' midfielders the other night against Everton. So if he's in that sort of position, you know, sweeping up balls, and he you know, he'll get a ton of the ball there against West Brom, I suspect, and he might get a bit of pressure from Conor Gallagher or whoever, but I think he looks all right there at 49p.
Yeah, he should be okay. I think he's 50p now anyway. That's not me. Like, I'm not taking that at all, because that I'm pretty sure that's a 3 o'clock game on the Saturday.
I believe it is. Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah, no. You know what? That might be a 12:30.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll have a look at that then.
Yeah, it's 12:30
on Saturday.
Fair enough. Leeds Brighton.
Yeah, no. We'll go with Leeds Brighton.
Okay.
I'm quite excited about, and this just feels so wrong, going long on Sanchez, the Brighton stand-in goalkeeper, because Leeds just take so many shots. Like, they carve out a huge amount of chances, and obviously this could go terribly wrong for a pick. Because he could have next to nothing to do but concede a couple of goals if Leeds and Bamford decide to be clinical, which, yeah, maybe we should edit that bit out where I mentioned Bamford and clinical in the same sentence.
He's scoring goals.
He's scoring goals, but his conversion rate is pretty damn poor. He's had like one of the most shots on target in the league.
He had 7 against Spurs in their last game, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, so, I mean, Sanchez could be in for a busy night, which, you know, would go great for my pick.
Yeah.
48p.
I don't mind that at all. I mean, I get what you mean about it being kind of funny, because, I mean, I've never thought that much of Matt Ryan, and I think at least the research, or when I've looked into him earlier in the season, on SportStack, that kind of reaffirmed the point, because he was one of the few keepers, even when keepers started booming, where he never seemed to be paying out much. I mean, he's got a 53, he's got 2 45s and a 42 this season. And his goalkeepers go now, that is pretty poor. His season average is 34p. So I would not have thought of backing a Brighton goalkeeper previously, but Robert Sanchez seems to be a better bet in my book. Now, Brighton, I think they're struggling there. I don't think they've won a game since about mid-November. And you're kind of in this weird situation where Brighton have been underperforming XG at either end of the pitch, I think. So they're apparently very unlucky to be down right in the bottom half, 16th maybe, wherever it is they are in the league. And then you've got Leeds, who do create a lot of chances, do concede a lot of chances. So kind of how that ends up playing out, I don't know. But Brighton have a number of injuries. So they are missing this weekend Welbeck, Lallana, Connolly, Jakambash and Tarek Lamptey. You know, they're all kind of frontline players for Brighton, played a lot of minutes so far between them. But they do have Yves Bissouma back, who I think could be in for a decent game. My kind of expectation for this is maybe the Brighton struggle to fashion chances. So Ilan Meslier is obviously a favourite for people to trade. He's had some great payouts, and he's a 48p sell. And I wouldn't be surprised if he underperforms that. But Yves Bissouma coming back in, he's 44p, which I think isn't too bad a price. I just suspect that he's going to be, you know, he's going to have plenty to do, and I could be sticking my foot in it here, and, you know, he might end up giving away a few fouls, getting a yellow, getting a red card, you know. But I quite like that. So one of my second pick is going to be long Yves Bissouma at 44p, as much as it pains me to go long a Brighton player.
Yeah, I can understand that. This was like me where I went long on him at Burnley last season. Just felt wrong.
Yeah, I don't mind, you know, if Leeds win 3-0, but Bissouma pays out 60p, if that can happen, that'd be grand. But yeah, we'll see. 7:43, so we've now got the Fulham-Chelsea game. So West London Derby, that market will be coming online very shortly. Jay, have you got any kind of expectations for how the market might open, how this game is going to go? Have you got your eye on anyone in particular?
I'm going to get chastised for this. I just want a short Timo Werner.
yeah.
I really do. It's so frustrating because I've loved watching him play football for what the last 3-4 years, really, that he's sort of been, you know, really there on the scene for Leipzig. And yeah, it's so painful to just watch him suffer, but gotta make money somehow, right?
Yeah, exactly, we're in the business of making money here. Can't get too attached. So, I mean, I say that we obviously were very keen on him in career markets, and I still think long term that he will come good, but
short term we'll make money on shorting him.
Yeah, that's kind of where I sit on it. I mean, I don't know whether he will play. He played 90 minutes against City, so maybe he doesn't start. I don't know, but against Fulham have drawn their last 5 games actually. So this is a weird quirk with the. With the form tables, Fulham are actually ahead of Chelsea because Chelsea picked up a win and a draw, but they've also lost. There are the 3 games. Fulham have managed to draw every single one of the last 5, and that includes 1-1 draws now against Spurs and against Liverpool. But in none of those games have there been more than 2 goals. So you look at Fulham probably, again, trying to be solid, but take the opportunities. And that's why I think a short Timo Werner trade is probably a decent shout, particularly given he's likely to come out. I think, Jay, you said that when we were talking earlier about 47p, right? That sounds about right to me.
Yeah, I would expect him to come out around 47p. That's my personal thing. I'd be quite surprised if he came out any lower than that, I want to say.
Yeah, so would I. Let's see where these prices populate now as the game comes online. See someone there with an offer to sell at 50p. I was actually going to try and pull the same thing, but I think I'm going to end up having to sell a little bit lower than that, sadly. We shall see. Do you think Chelsea can... I mean, it sounds mad to say. Do you think Chelsea will get a result here? Because obviously they need to kickstart a bit of a run of form, because Frank will be feeling the heat a little bit, I suspect.
Yeah, Chelsea will need a kickstart. They will definitely need a kickstart. It's just actually like whether they can do it or not.
Yeah,
because you know they have been pretty damn poor.
Yeah, they really have. I mean, it was a pretty comprehensive win against West Ham in the end. But that's obviously just been in sort of mixed in with a lot of poor results. And it's difficult because you had City back at their best the other week against Chelsea. You know, 3-0 up at half-time, and they really looked tough. So I don't quite know. Maybe that's not the best sort of yardstick for it, but I think Fulham are going to be a sterner game here than maybe the market makers will be pricing. Let's see.
They have.
Werner is a 49p sell. Get stuck in.
I sold Werner at 50.
Oh, did you? Oh, these are live reactions, Jay. You've got to stop me if I'm talking. And
yeah, but give me the
best prices.
I'm pretty sure, like, I get quoted a couple of times in Slack, it's a dog-eat-dog world, mate.
Yeah, it is. It is, that's true. And you're proving that. You're proving that now.
You didn't get stuck into Kai Havertz, though, at 46. I don't think he'll start anyway.
No, I have not got stuck into Kai Havertz. I'm just scanning through the other prices here. But I think I need to actually dig into this game a little bit more, because I might be interested in in Silver or Zuma possibly. I quite like both of those guys, but obviously results lately haven't really been amenable to going long Chelsea centre backs. So we'll see with that one. Christian Pulisic is a 47p short, but I think he's good, so I'm not going to short him. Fair enough. From the two games that have gone live, then, who is your pick going to be?
My pick is going to be short Timo Werner at 50p.
Yeah, fair enough. Can't argue with that. On that basis, my pick is going to be long James Ward-Prowse at 45p. I think that's actually a bit of a bargain. So I've got my three picks there. Final game that we need to cover, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is West Ham versus Burnley. So that is 3 o'clock kickoff alongside Leeds versus Brighton. So Jay, you've got your final pick in this game.
West Ham Burnley army, or
is that what? Did I not say that? Maybe I said
Did you say Brighton?
I might have said Brighton. I meant West Ham Burnley.
I was going to say. I was thinking, I'm sure they're not playing this weekend. West Ham Burnley. I am absolutely 100% jumping on the bandwagon and going long on Thomas Soucek at 46p.
Yes.
This is this is a massive, massive bandwagon trade.
Well, he's hit some nice form, right?
He has. Look at his payouts. He definitely has. Because I think he's got some high payouts recently, and obviously he has been scoring recently. But like his 66 against Southampton came without any goal involvement, so no goal, no assist. 67 against Leeds, but that was including a goal. 57 against Man United, again including a goal.
Scoring machine. There we go.
He is a scoring machine, and you know, West Ham seem to play for set pieces, which is obviously where he gets his goals from predominantly. That's what I'm looking to.
Yeah, fair enough. I can't argue with that. I was struggling to pick anything else really in this game. I've just about had it with going long Burnley forwards. So no matter how cheap Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood are, I don't think I'll be buying them. It's just one of these, it's quite an attractive thing because they're really their only goal threats. And, you know, when it comes to set pieces, they're still probably their biggest goal threat. So it's quite tempting. But I don't quite know how to read this one, because West Ham, I think, they've been sort of jamming out some good results without playing particularly well. So I think Soucek is quite a good expression of that, because he's probably going to be very involved in the midfield. But they'll be looking to him to try and tuck something away at a set piece.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I imagine will happen. I did also think about Nick Pope in this game.
Right.
Just because he's a machine, isn't he?
He is.
But I'm just not sure. I'm not sure how many or how much you would have to do against a West Ham side that, you know, as I just said, tend to be playing for set pieces at the moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked through this, didn't we, before we started recording, and we actually sort of talked both sides of the coin, is do you want to go long or short?
Yeah. I think generally the conclusion we came to is he's probably priced just about right, and therefore there may not be a huge amount of margin involved either way.
No, exactly. I don't think West Ham will be creating chance after chance, but then you're relying on them finishing probably a couple of the few chances they do create for a Nick Pope short to be worth doing. So it's that. I don't think that's a trade worth taking, not in my book anyway. That's pretty much it. I don't know if you've got anything to add on any of those games. Otherwise, we can pretty much probably run through our picks and wrap up there with the Palace game now 7 minutes away.
Yeah, let's wrap up. We don't need you missing Palace getting slaughtered.
Hey, come on.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
And yeah,
I think my younger brother is going to end up listening to one or two, so obviously he's an Arsenal fan, so, you know.
Okay, well, yeah, let's hope Arsenal don't batter Palace, because I don't want to have to beef your nine-year-old brother. That would be embarrassing for me. So, yeah, let's wrap up with picks. We've got, well, I've actually got a lot of centre midfield action going on, which isn't really a thing I typically trade, I don't think. So either I'm going to stumble across a gold mine or it's going to blow up in my face. But I've got long Ruben Neves at 49p, long Ipa Suma at 44p, and long James Ward-Prowse at 45p.
Yeah, so I'm long Socek at 46, long Sanchez for Brighton at 48, and short the Messiah Timo Werner at 50p.
I'm actually quite excited to see that one. That's a trade I feel very good about now. And at least I've got some emotional capital invested and, you know, my reputation invested in saying he's going to do well. So that's a bit of a hedge there if he does score.
Yeah, if he does score it, it might be a little bit painful.
Have you gone big?
I think I'm slowly getting to the point where I'm scaling up to 400 now, not 300. So this is a bit of a bigger trade.
Okay then, well. Anyone listening, feel free to let us know what you make of that trade on Twitter, in Slack. I'm quite interested to see where the consensus lies, but that seems it seems pricey for him at this point, a 50, 49p sell. So I quite like that one.
Yeah.
That is us done for the week. Time to see what happens with Palace Arsenal. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. Obviously, as we get back to a more normal schedule with the football, we will get back into more of a routine, hopefully with more games to talk about each week. This is obviously a little bit of a shorter podcast, but we will catch you next time. Thank you for tuning in and happy trading.